The law of the Lord is perfect. Give me the Bible. Give me the Bible. When we follow the Bible, we don't need anything else. There should never be any thought, any effort on our part to apologize when people remark concerning Christians, "Well, you folks are so narrow-minded," or "You have such a very strange way of worshiping," or "Why do you do things the way that you do? Don't you realize that other churches do a variety of things, and in that way, they have a far greater number in attendance than you have?" And to all of that, those of us who have that grand confidence in God, where we say, "The law of the Lord is perfect," it and it alone will convert the soul. What do you need in religion? What should you have in religion? Only the Bible. Following the Word of God steadfastly, loyally, strictly, following the Word of the Lord, the Bible, and following it only, without addition, without subtraction, will make us exactly the way that God would want us to be. It's a well-known fact that the Bible only will make Christians only. I would ask that you turn to Acts, the 11th chapter. Perhaps for many of us, this is simply a refresher. But I began with verse 21 of Acts 11, when it says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they would continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul." And finally, verse 26, "When they found him, he brought him to Antioch, so that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And finally, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." Oh my, what a treasure we find for us here in Acts 11 and verse 26. What does the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ recorded here in our Bible, in our New Testament, what will it always produce? What is going to be the end result whenever men and women, young people, people anywhere and everywhere throughout the world, they just hear this simple gospel proclaimed, centered in it the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the fact that he is the Son of God that we will talk about in just a moment. What does that produce? Well, it will only make Christians. That's all. It will only make Christians. Now, because that is true, there's a negative that I encourage you to consider for a moment. It's going to take something more, or it's going to take something less, Or it's going to take something different to make you something else religiously. I've been told, and I have no reason to doubt it whatsoever, in saying the Muslim religion is the largest religion in the world. How do you become a Muslim, do you suppose? Well, you know a little bit about the Muslim faith, even if you've never read the Quran, and even if you don't know all about it. You know, first of all, that you have to believe that Muhammad is the prophet of God. Now, I don't mean a little prophet. I don't mean just one of the prophets. Whenever you pick up a booklet, a tract, from the Muslim society, very possibly on the back of it, you will notice that it will start off with Abraham as a prophet of God. And then on down the list somewhere there, you're going to find Jesus Christ. And if you didn't know better, you would say, oh, the Muslims believe in Jesus. They honor Jesus. No, they don't. They dishonor Jesus. They do not believe in the virgin birth. They do not believe that Jesus actually died on the cross, that he was buried, that he rose again, that he is our Savior. Who is the greatest prophet of all? Muhammad, Muhammad, and all of that entire religion that has to do with every rule and with every regulation in being a Muslim. You don't read of it in the Bible at all. Some folks say, oh, they just call God by a different name. He is Allah, but he is the same God, and they are worshiping him as we are. No, dear friends, they are not. I boldly proclaim to you that if you want to become a Muslim, and boy, I hope there's not a single person here today that does want to become a Muslim. But if you want to be a Muslim, what are you going to have to do? Well, you can't read about being a Muslim in the Bible. Those disciples way back there in Antioch in the first century, it does not say, and the disciples became called as Muslims. They were Christians. Do you know what it takes to be a Muslim? Well, you have to reject the Bible. Or you have to reject even the teachings of the law of Moses. You have to reject all that the New Testament teaches. It takes something different. It takes a gospel, but a false gospel, in order to become a Muslim. Well, in so many parts of the world, in India and Africa, there are literally millions of Hindus. Hindus. They have the Hindu scriptures. They have the Gita. They have traditions. Polytheism. The worship of many gods. The belief that God is in everything. That he is in the plants. That he is in the animals. There are certain animals that you've got to worship and you've got to take care of. And so how does a person become a Hindu? I have noticed occasionally, not often, but I have noticed occasionally that here is a person of European ancestry that has become a Hindu. Well, how did he become such? Well, he admired the Hindu faith. Maybe he admired Gandhi. He admired what they stood for, their peaceful nature, their outlook on life, and so many other things that seemed to attract him. But do you know what you have to do in order to become a Hindu? Well, you don't read of being a Hindu in the Bible, do you? You've got to reject what the Bible teaches. You have to have something more. You have to have something different. You have to place your faith and your confidence in some other writing, in some other teaching. Someone says, but why are there so many of them? Well, simply because there are so many people who will not follow the Bible, who will not read the Bible. Praise God that there are those in South Africa that have rejected Hinduism. They have turned away from that false religion. And so many of our friends have become simply Christians. Now, I'm not quite through yet. Don't call this the introduction. You cannot be a member of any denomination and just follow the Bible. Did you know that? Someone that you may study with, and I'll just pick a denomination at random, and they will say, well, I'm a member of the Lutheran religion. I attend the Lutheran Church. Well, I think every one of us in our study of history has read about Martin Luther, about his rebellion against the selling of indulgences and those theses that he nailed to the door of the church building in Wittenberg, Germany. And that eventually caused a division, a falling away, a breaking away from the Roman Catholic Church. And there may be many, many people as a result of that would applaud Martin Luther. But I want to ask you seriously. You take your Bible now, and you can begin in the book of Genesis if you want to, and you just go right on through those books in the Old Testament and all of the books in the New Testament. How many times did you read the name Lutheran Church in there? How many times did you read it? Why, you say, Brother Tope, that Lutheran denomination, and there again are literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people, not only in America, but throughout the world. If you ask them, what are you religiously, they will say, I'm a Lutheran, and they're proud of it. But do you know what? You're going to have to do something more, and in this case, you're going to have to do something less, and you're going to have to do something different in order for you to become a Lutheran. If you only follow the Bible, you're only going to be a Christian. All of these denominations, maybe you've had that privilege of sitting down and studying with someone. Maybe at one time you were in one of these denominations. But you know, it is such a wonderful thing when that individual, no matter what denomination it is, whenever they find out, well, you know, our church is not mentioned in the Bible. That ought to mean a lot to the individual. That means that there was some man, that there were a group of people, that there was some system out there that started that man-made religion. You cannot be a member of a single denomination on earth, no matter what it is, and still just follow the Bible. The Bible alone, the Bible only, the Bible believed by you and followed by you, do you know what it will make you? It'll just make you a Christian. That's all it will make you. And if you've done that, and if you are one of God's children, if you are a Christian, oh, you praise God for it. What are some things? When we follow only the Bible, what are some things that we will believe? Well, the first thing I believe that will occur to an individual, if the reading, the study of the Bible is going to do them any good at all, is they will, from the heart, believe that the Bible is something that must be obeyed. Look with me to Luke, the 6th chapter. I'll begin with verse 46. I'm sure, again, it is familiar to some of us. Luke 6, verse 46, beginning. Jesus, our Lord, speaks asking a question. "But why do you call me Lord, Lord," he says, "and not do the things which I say?" Can't you already see? Don't you already catch on to the fact how wrong it is for an individual? Here is Jesus, the Son of God. And here are people wanting to give him honor, wanting to show respect. We're thinking about the Jews of the first century. "Lord, Lord," they say. Well, are you going to do what the Lord says? Oh, no. The fault that Jesus is finding. "Why do you call me Lord and not do the things which I say?" Then he proceeds with the parable, a description that you and I have never, ever forgotten. We teach it in the Bible classes to the little children, and it makes such an impression on them. So in 47, Jesus says, "Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep, laid the foundation on the rock, and when the floods came, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock." Notice the next thing. "But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." You don't have to be a house builder to know you got to build a house on a good foundation. You don't want to build a house on the sand. You don't want to build a house in an earthquake area. You want to be sure whenever you build a house that it's going to stand. Oh. But you know, if you want to just follow the Bible has not just been placed there for you to read at your leisure. Did you know that? I had one man to tell me once, "Well, if I don't have a comic book to read," he said, "I'll read the Bible." Well, shame on that man. But you know, there are many people, I understand that parts of the Old Testament, the Song of Solomon maybe, the Ecclesiastes. Some of those books, the Psalms, are taught at the university level. Well, what are they taught as? The Bible as literature. Oh, my dear friends, it is the greatest literature that has ever been written. There is everything in it. There is history. There is romance. There is adventure. There is everything and anything that anybody could ever want to read. But the Bible is not given to us as just a book to be read. If you do not approach the Word of God with that kind of reverential fear, wherein you are saying, this is the Word of God. Remember, the law of the Lord is what? The law of the Lord is perfect. And that's the book you've got. That's the book you hold in your hands. That's the book whenever late at night or early of the morning or at lunchtime you're picking up and reading. Do you know you have to do what it says? Oh, how displeased God must be when an individual reads something in the Word of God and he either says, I don't believe that, or he says, I don't have to do that. All those who only follow the Bible will believe that it is a book that must be obeyed. Those who follow the Bible will believe that Jesus is the only Savior. That scripture was already quoted this morning in Acts 4 and verse 12. Peter tells the people, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name given under heaven among men than the name of Jesus Christ. Not Muhammad, not Joseph Smith, not Mary Baker Eddy, not Ellen G. White, anybody else that you name. Oh, I know a big preacher. It's not the Word of God. Not the Word of God. There's only one person that can save you. What is unique about Christianity? Tell me, what is unique about it? It is the only religion in all the world that has a Savior that died for you and for me and for every individual. He hung on the cross. He suffered. He gave his life that you and I might live. But you can't be saved just through prayer. You can't be saved through some kind of personal morality. You can't be saved because you're a good neighbor, a good husband or wife, or anything that you want to mention. If you are pinning your hopes on any other way of salvation, on any other person than Jesus Christ, you'll be lost. Jesus, for those of us who follow the Bible, we will firmly say on every opportunity and occasion, Jesus is the only Savior. Those of us who believe the Bible will believe that baptism is necessary to salvation. Why? Well, because that's what the Bible teaches. Oh, my, How many scriptures are there? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Arise and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Galatians 3. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. I talk with people. I know you do. And someone, maybe after they have studied with us for a little bit, they say, oh yeah, I believe that baptism is necessary. And you say to them, if you're very wise and if you've studied with folks like that, you say, well now then, if a person isn't baptized, do you think they'll be lost? Oh no. Oh, no. That's narrow-minded. Do you really think that because a person hasn't been baptized, they'll be lost? Yeah, if you believe the Bible, you do. Whenever we say baptism is for the remission of sins, we are saying what God says. Don't go soft on the Word of God. Those who follow the Bible believe there is really only one true church. I told you about the man I worked with when I worked for the Army. He was a preacher in a denomination. We talked so frequently about the Scriptures. He said, Gene, he said, I'll listen to you just as long as you want to talk. But he said, whenever you say there is only one church, he said, I'm through with you. I said, well, you're through with me. Because there is only one church. Ephesians chapter 4. Have you read it? Verses 4 through 6. One Spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one God and Father of all. There's only one Holy Spirit. There's only one Jesus Christ. There's only one Heavenly Father. There's only one body. You can't believe just any old thing you want to believe. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. It was going to require his death. Acts 20, it is the church of the Lord which he purchased with his own blood. He didn't purchase any denominations. He never purchased the Hindu faith. He never purchased the Muslim faith. He just bought his church. Christians are in it. This is for all of us. You say, Brother Tope, you've sure been telling those folks from outside, haven't you? If you believe the Bible, you're going to have to believe that you have to grow up. Have to grow up. Bible doesn't make any provision for folks that are, I guess you could say, lollygagging. I don't use that very often. You got to grow up. Let's look at two scriptures. Turn, if you will. Ephesians 4 and verse 15. It's a simple verse. 4:15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. You got to grow up. 1 Timothy 4, 7, and 8. 1 Timothy 4, 7, and 8. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise, those of you who don't do push-ups and lift weights and so forth, you may like verse 8. Or bodily exercise profits a little. And that's what I tell myself when I don't exercise bodily. Bodily exercise profits a little. But listen, godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. But the point of the scripture is you've got to exercise yourself unto godliness. You don't just come up out of the water of baptism and say, all right, I'm a Christian now. That's said and done. Everything's taken care of. Oh, I'll attend church services once in a while. I'll do this or that once in a while. Oh, shame on you. Shame on every individual that does not realize, if I do not grow as one of God's children, I'm going to shrivel up and die. So along that line, there's one last negative point. If you believe, if you're following the scriptures, if you're reading it and you say, I've made that my book, you know what you believe? You believe that lukewarm Christians are going to be lost. Now it takes some heart searching for you to determine where you are. I hope all of you can do that. Are you a wide awake Christian? Are you growing? Has Christianity just become kind of indifferent to you? Oh, you sandwich it in between maybe your exercise classes and your work and all kinds of things. You know the passage in Revelation 3. I think almost every one of these verses we've used today are verses that Christians know about. Revelation 3 speaks of that church in Laodicea. They were so rich in worldly things, but they were so poor in the spiritual. And so, Revelation 3, verse 15, our Lord knows something. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. What am I trying to accomplish this morning? I want everyone in the audience to only follow the Bible. We'll all be doing the same things. We'll be united as no one else can be united. We're going to have assurance that we're doing God's will. I want you to respond to the gospel this morning. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's what you need to do. Confess your faith in Christ. Let us help you to be buried in water so you can rise up as a new babe in Christ. And dear brother and sister, We've got a new quarter of Bible study that is beginning this next Sunday. There'll be new subjects that will be taught. There will be new teachers in each one of the departments. Those of you that aren't coming to Bible study, let me plead with you. It'll do you a world of good. It will encourage the church. If you've fallen away, come back, confess your sins. We'll pray with you and for you.